David opens the 37th Psalm with these words: "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Verse 10, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." Yet a little while. This is a psalm which in many ways contrasts the righteous with the wicked. It opens with the words, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." It contrasts the righteous with the wicked, and the effect that the wicked have upon the righteous. That they hate the righteous. That they persecute the righteous. There is this warfare between evildoers and the righteous. David says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." And in verse 10 he says, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." And the prospect of the meek and the righteous is set before us, that the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 37, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him." In the midst of the psalm, David, out of his older age, says, "I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." So the end of the wicked and the end of the righteous is presented to us. And there's great hope in this for those who love God, for those who have been turned from their wicked ways, for those who have been shown their own wicked heart, shown the wrath of God which burns against their iniquity, shown the way of salvation, and shown in the gospel a Saviour who has come to deliver them from their sins. There's great hope for these who are delivered from their sins, who are brought to love God and walk in his ways, but who know the warfare, the hatred, the persecution that comes upon them because of the wicked in this world. God's people are a hated people, a despised people, a scattered people so often, and a weak people. in themselves. They are not welcome in this world. They journey through this world as pilgrims and as strangers. They know that this world is not theirs. It is not their final destination. They're passing through, and they seek another country, another city, a heavenly city, as we read in Hebrews. There are people of faith who have their hope set on high, whose hope is set upon the Lord and upon the righteousness of God, which is theirs in Jesus Christ. Their hope is not in this world. So when they see the wicked all around them prospering, and when they see the ways of the wicked prospering, and the thoughts and the ideals and the wisdom of the wicked being furthered and prospering on every side, if their attention was set upon this world, they could be downcast because they see their beliefs, their wisdom, their knowledge trampled underfoot and despised and rejected, and they see the evil ways and the evil ideals and wisdom of this world being lifted up and prospering. And if their attention was upon this world, it would cause them to fret, because they love God's ways. They love the righteousness of God. They love his word. And to see the evil and the workers of iniquity despising that word, blaspheming it, trampling it underfoot, and seeming to prosper despite their wicked ways could bring much concern to the child of God, and often does. Yet behind it all, he knows, as David knows, that the end of the wicked is short. That this world is not theirs. It's not their final resting place. And that though here the wicked may prosper, the wicked will finally be judged and cast aside. There are multitudes who seem to have a great voice and seem to have much going their way and seem to speak with big, swelling, boastful words and seem to prosper. But really they have in their hand very little. All they have is a few years upon this earth. And it doesn't matter how much riches they may gain in those few years, or how much power or status. And it doesn't matter how many ears may listen to them, or how many may follow them, or how many may praise them. They are like grass. They grow up one moment and they're cut down the next. And you can see this throughout all history. You can see this in past history, and you can see this in present history. You can see this with the greatest names, the most vaunted names in history. The leaders of empires and of empires. Empires come and empires go. Great leaders come and great leaders go. Great people in business come and go. They have their riches for a moment and they're soon taken away. And it's the same today. There are those names that rise up in industry and in the media and in government. They're there one moment and they're gone the next. They have, as it were, their 15 minutes of fame. It's brief. So though they may seem to prosper, in reality, their prospering is but for a moment. Blink and it's gone. And that's all they've got. That's all they can seek after. And if that's what you're seeking after, if you're seeking after this world and its ways and its things, it will go from your hands in a moment. But the righteous looks up. The Lord's people look up. Yes, they're in this world. Yes, we, like others, live here for a moment. Yes, we work and we live and we have our places of being. But we know we're passing through, and we know it really doesn't matter whether we prosper, whether we are rich, whether we are poor, whether we are followed by others, whether we're rejected by others, whether we are many or whether we are few. It really doesn't matter, because our reward is not here. Our reward is in the world to come. Our reward is Christ in heaven above. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, because there's nothing to be envious of. When you see them prospering, when you see them being spoken well of by others, when you see them gaining in whatever realm, whether it's in riches, in material ways, or just whether it's in their fame or their applause or their recognition, however it is, whether they have the voice of the people and you don't, and the gospel isn't, and people won't hear our message, even if they won't hear the message of the righteous, and they trample it underfoot and laugh, but they will hear these. Don't worry. Don't be envious, because they have nothing. They have the attention of others for a moment, and then they're gone. And what they call wisdom, which is foolishness, will lead them to destruction. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. They are as nothing. And you, my friend, by nature, are just the same. You're as nothing. You're born one day, you grow up like a blade of grass, and soon you're old and cut down. You will prosper, you will flower, you will have praise from this one or that one for a moment. You will gain this or that for a moment. You will have your day perhaps, but soon you're gone, if you know not God. This world is fleeting, it's passing. And David once again reminds us here of that fact in this psalm. But in the next few verses, he directs the thoughts of the people of God to another place, another way, another wisdom, another hope. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. He directs our gaze upwards to the Lord. In what and in whom do you hope? Evildoers, the wicked, those that the world follow, those that the world praise, those that the world applaud, those that the world lift up, have no hope. They are as grass, grows up one day, cut down the next. Indeed, in their own wisdom, they can project no hope. They will tell you that there is no God. They will tell you that this world was not created, that it is not sustained or ruled by that God. They will tell you that it came into being by chance. They will tell you that they evolved from monkeys and from fish. They will tell you that life is just chance. They will tell you that the human race is likely to be doomed, as the so-called dinosaurs were doomed. They will tell you that there is no hope. Their wisdom, their message is to tell us that we are randomly created, randomly here, and there is no true purpose other than to try to survive. Because they do not know God, they have no hope. They have no wisdom. Their wisdom is foolishness. But David directs the child of God to he in whom they have every hope. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Because he is your hope. And he will watch over you. And he will bring you into a great inheritance. He shall bring you into a land in which you will dwell in peace forever. The contrast between the end of the wicked and the end of the righteous could not be greater. The wicked will be destroyed utterly, whereas the righteous will dwell with the Lord in a land that lasts forever. He shall dwell in peace and safety. He shall be fed. The righteous delights in the Lord, and the Lord gives him the desires of his heart. The righteous commits his way unto the Lord and trusts in him, and the Lord brings his desires to pass. The righteous waits for the Lord, who in the end rewards him. Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. They have every hope. Every hope. Where is your hope? Are you as the wicked, vainly grasping to the sand that passes through your fingers? Or are you as David, trusting, delighting in the Lord, committing thy way unto the Lord, resting and waiting upon the Lord? The contrast between the righteous and the wicked is not just external. It's not just that David was there as one who loved God and he looked out and saw others who hated God. But he knew the experience of evil in his own heart. He knew what the warfare was, not just outside, but inside. He knew the warfare not just with others, but he knew the warfare within. For we know that there is none righteous, no, not one by nature, that those who love God, those who trust in the Lord, those who delight in the Lord, those who commit their ways unto the Lord, those who wait upon him and rest in him, were once just as the wicked. And they have in them the old man, the old nature of Adam, which is wicked through and through. David knew salvation, because he knew what it was to be saved from what he was by nature and what he had done by nature. He was as wicked as anyone outside. He was as much a worker of evil as any whom he came across. And even though he knew God, he knew the working of evil. He knew the iniquity which flowed forth from his flesh, which flowed forth from the old man Adam within him on a daily basis. The trouble that the evildoers brought upon him was not only external, it was internal. His own flesh warred against the new man of grace. There was a warfare within. The old man and the new man were at war. His flesh would have him turn. His flesh would have him run from God. His flesh would have him seek ease. His flesh would have him fight against the ways of God. His flesh would have him doubt and worry. His flesh would look down upon the earth When the new man knew to look up towards heaven, his flesh would cause him to fret. And this psalm and its pronouncement upon the end of the wicked is as much to do with that inward warfare and the end of the old man as it is to do with the end of the wicked around us. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, for fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evil doers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. David had great trouble from the wicked around him, from those who hated his God and hated his ways, from those who mocked him and persecuted him because he followed God. David had great trouble from them, and you, if you seek to follow God, may know the same. You will know the same. You will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. But you will also have great trouble, as David had, from the old man Adam within, from the old nature, from the wicked influences of the old man that would have you turn from God, that would cause you to doubt, that would cause you to complain, that would cause you to turn away. You have a daily warfare. And to be promised that in a little while, that wicked heart, that wicked man, that old man Adam shall not be. That you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be, is the greatest of hopes. Though in this world we may journey with the flesh ever present, though we may feel let down by ourselves, let down by the old man, though he may cause us to doubt and to despair at times, we know that there is that time coming when he shall not be, when he shall be gone, when we shall stand before God as a perfect man without the flesh, without Adam, without our old man, our old nature, perfect in Christ Jesus, and he shall be gone. And we shall look, and he will not be found. Yet a little while, a little while. This is David's hope. Trust in the Lord, and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. These things will come to pass. In what do you trust? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. In what do you delight? David delighted in the Lord. The Lord was his delight. He could not think of any greater joy, any greater pleasure, any greater desire than his God and Saviour. He delighted in Jesus Christ. He delighted in the Lord. He delighted in his Saviour. All he wanted was to be with God and to know God, to know his salvation, to know his grace. That was the desire of his heart, to know his God, to be delivered from his old man and the sin which did easily beset him, to be delivered from this world, to be delivered from the wicked, and to be with God. In what do you delight? There are many things in this world that you can find delight in. God has given us many riches and things in this world which can bring great pleasure to man. But there is nothing to compare with the delight that is found in Jesus Christ. Of all the pleasures, the natural pleasures in this world, the one that men and women seek most is the love of another. The pleasure they take most pleasure in ultimately is not material. It's not just food or drink or a house over their head or material things. The pleasure that brings man most pleasure in a natural sense is the love of another. A husband, a wife, a friend, the love of others. But that's just a figure, a picture, a sample of the love of Christ for his people, for his bride. If you know what it is to be loved by another, that's just a little bit, a little insight into the love of Christ for his own. If Christ loves you, it's unconditional. It's everlasting. He loved you before you were ever born. He loved you before this world was ever created. He loved you when you went astray as a rebel before him. He loved you when you shook your fist at him. He loved you when you hated him and despised him and laughed at his gospel. He loved you in all your darkest moments. He loved you when you indulged in your sin. He loved you when you were in despair. He loved you when he made known your state before him. He loved you when you were cast down because of your sin and thought that his judgment and his wrath would surely damn you. He loved you when you thought you were beyond hope. He loved you when he drew you by his gospel to the foot of his cross and took his blood and sprinkled it upon your heart. He loved you when he suffered and died in your place. He loved you when his own blood was shed because of your sins. He loved you when he washed and cleansed you. He loved you when he brought the gospel to you by power through the Holy Spirit to quicken you unto life. He loves you as you journey every day through this world. He loves you as he brings you before him on your last day. He will love you in eternity to come. His love has no beginning and no end. And if you know that love, you will know that it is a delight to be loved by him. And it is a delight to love him in return. It is a delight to know him, to know who he is, to know what he's done, to know his care and concern for you. When all men may have abandoned you, when all men may laugh at you and scoff you, if you're his, you will delight in him who has given all that you might have all. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What do you desire? If you desire this world and its ways, and he gives you that, and he doesn't save your soul, you'll wish you never had it. But if your desire is for salvation, if your desire is to be cleansed of your sin, if your desire is to be washed, if your desire is to be forgiven, if your desire is that the old man, the wicked man that once was you, if your desire is that your wicked heart should be blotted out and destroyed and judged and taken away, if your desire is for righteousness, if your desire is for God, then he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. When you know not where to go, when you know not what the next step is, when the way is not clear, when you can't fathom it out, when you can't work it out, when you don't know what the end from the beginning is, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. David often found himself in situations where he did not know what the next day would bring, where people were seeking his life, where he was chased from here to there. He didn't know what the future would hold, but he knew that he had a God to whom he could run. And he knew that that God would watch over him. And he knew that that God knew the way. He knew that God knew the right way. He knew that God would order his steps. He knew that God would open the doors. He knew he would bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord. Oh, how hard it is for us by nature to rest and to wait. We're forever doing, we're forever working, especially in the matters of religion. When we know that we're sinners, when we know the ways of God, when we know how we should be, it's natural to us, we will put ourselves to making it right. We try to turn from our sin. We try to walk right. We try to pray. We try to read the scripture. We try to make ourselves approvable unto a God who we know is angry with us. When we know that, when we're taught that we're a sinner, when we know that our sins will bring us under judgment, we try to put it right. We try to sow fig leaves as Adam and Eve did. We try to hide our sin. We try to turn from it. We try to make him happy with us. We try to seek God's approval through our own work. And yet we find, as the Lord teaches us, that the more we work, the worse we get. The more we strive, the further we fall. Our works achieve nothing. Our fig leaves hide nothing. Before him we're naked and exposed. He sees us inside and out. We can make the outside look good before others, but he looks in the heart within. We're naked before God, and nothing we can do improves anything. David says, rest in the Lord. Cease to work. Turn to God. Just cry out unto God that I am penniless, I am worthless, I am naked, I am nothing. This is what I am, Lord, and I can't do anything about it. Help me, Lord. And rest in him, because he's done everything. He saves. Salvation is of the Lord. He's done everything. Trust in him, not in yourself. Delight in him, not in self. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and rest in him, and wait for him. He will do it all. He will bring everything to pass. And it doesn't matter how events might appear. It doesn't matter how the wicked might seem to prosper. It doesn't matter how frustrating things might appear. He is working his purposes out. He will bring his salvation to pass. He will bring his purposes to pass. Rest. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Yet a little while. Yet a little while. This phrase, yet a little while, reminds us of Jesus' usage of the phrase in John's Gospel. Several times in John's Gospel, he says, yet a little while. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Chapter 12, Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. John 13:33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now say I to you, yet a little while I am with you. John 14:19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Christ was on this earth for a little while. And it was a little while until that day should come when his disciples would see him no more. It was a little while until that day should come when the Jews would take Christ and take hands upon him and commit him into the hands of the Romans and nail him to a cross and crucify him. Yet a little while and he was slain. Yet a little while, and he hung above the earth, dividing the righteous from the wicked. Yet a little while, and God judged the wicked in his Son. Yet a little while, and God separated his people from the wicked in his Son upon the tree. Yet a little while, and Christ's body was laid in the grave. The head with the body. The Son of God with his bride. All God's people were laid in the grave. Yet a little while, and their old man was judged and slain upon the cross. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yet a little while, and Paul was slain with Christ upon the cross. Yet a little while, and the wicked man Adam was judged and buried in the ground. Yet a little while, and all God's people rose again with Christ, ever to live with him. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Yet a little while, and Saul, was slain with Christ. And the old man, Saul, was not found. He was laid in the grave, judged under the wrath of God. Judged under the righteousness of God, destroyed. And you might diligently seek him, and it shall not be found. He shall not be found. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. David's great hope was that in a little while, his Saviour would come, and the wicked, not just the others, but the wicked heart within him, would not be. In a little while, Christ would come. Messiah would come. The Saviour would come. And judgment would come down. And in a little while, the wicked shall not be. The cross is in view in this phrase. There is a little while from David's day until the coming of Christ. Thousands of years, perhaps. But 1,000 years is as a day in the eyes of the Lord, and a day as 1,000 years, it's just a little while. There was a little while in which Christ walked upon this earth, the Son of God, the Son of Man. There was a little while in which Christ hung upon the tree for 3 hours in the darkness as the old man Adam was judged and taken away, as the wicked was cut off. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. There was a little while Christ and his people lay in the grave. There is a little while between Christ ascending into glory and his coming again at the end of this earth in victory. One day he will come. David lived before the coming of Christ. You live after the coming of Christ. 2,000 years now have passed, but in God's eyes that's but a couple of days, a little while. And at the end of that little while, Christ will return in power. In power. And he will stand, and all nations and all people will be gathered before him. And the people will be divided, the sheep from the goats, the righteous from the wicked. And in a little while, the wicked shall not be. Hebrews 10 we read, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Yet a little while. Yet a little while, and then the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of grace. Have you considered the little while? Where are you in this little while? In a little while will you, as one who's wicked, be taken away and out of sight? Shall they search for you and not find you? Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Will people look for you, and you'll be gone? On that day when Christ returns in a little while, and the wicked are separated from the righteous, will you be taken aside with the wicked? Will people search for you, and you'll not be found? You're gone to spend eternity under the wrath of God. Because in this little while you shut your ears. Because you never trusted in the Lord. You never delighted in the Lord. You never committed your way unto the Lord. You never rested in the Lord. You never waited for the Lord. You never sought for the Lord. You never cared for the Lord. Because you loved the ways of the wicked, which in a little while shall not be. Through the rest of the psalm, David contrasts the wicked and his end with the righteous and his end. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man have is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. David writes not just of the wicked in the world, but he saw his own heart, his old man. He saw the old man Adam rising up in great power. There were those days when he fell, when sin came to the fore and slew him. And the old man spread himself like a green bay tree and almost destroyed David, brought him to his knees before his God. Yet, he says, he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Which man is this but the Son of God, and his people in him, who are righteous because he is righteous, who are perfect because he is perfect? What man is this but Christ? Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. That man is the same man that said, in a little while, I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. That man is the same man whom John in his gospel sets before us as the Son of God. That man, the only man who's perfect, is a divine man, the Son of God. Which is why John, in his gospel, sets him forth, saying unto us, echoing David's words, yet a little while I am with you. The Son of God, the perfect man, Mark the perfect man, says unto thee, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. But you cannot go where I go, except you're mine, except I take you, except I give myself for you, that you should come where I go, except your old man be destroyed, except you trust in me, delight in me, commit thy way unto me, rest in me, wait on me, see me, know me by faith. Yet a little while. Have you seen the perfect man? Do you know the perfect man? Do you know his salvation? The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Where are you trusting? Where are you looking? Where are you hoping? Upon whom are you waiting? Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. If you remain in your wickedness, with your eyes shut to Christ, your ears shut to Christ, and your heart shut to Christ, then in a little while you will be with the wicked, cast out, set aside. But if you have had your eyes opened by the gospel to see a Saviour, the perfect man, the Son of God, suffering in your place, if you've heard his voice in the gospel, if you've had faith put in the heart to look unto him and to trust and wait upon him, then in a little while you will see your old man, all the wicked ways of your heart taken away, and you will come to know what resting in the Lord forever truly is. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be.